This Super Bowl Sunday marked the end of another NFL season, but even as the league enters its offseason, it remains mired in controversy over the long-term health of its players. CTE, that's chronic traumatic encephalopathy, is often associated with repeated head injuries from football. For now, there is no reliable technology to detect CTE in the living. It can only be fully diagnosed after someone dies. It was only after the death of former New England Patriot Aaron Hernandez that his own CTE was confirmed, and a new documentary renews questions about the link between his disease and his conviction for murdering a friend. I spoke with Chris Nowinski about the state of the science around CTE today. He's CEO and co-founder of the Concussion Legacy Foundation, co-founder of the Boston University CTE Center, and is a former WWE wrestler. I asked him to start out by giving us a clear definition.
CTE is a neurodegenerative brain disease that evidence supports is caused by repeated brain trauma. It starts as small lesions in the cortex and then spreads even after you stop getting hit in the head, and causes symptoms that include problems with mood, behavior, and cognition.
What makes it so hard to diagnose?
We just haven't studied the disease as long as we have similar diseases like Alzheimer's disease. We still can't diagnose Alzheimer's disease in life with 100% accuracy, but we have followed people who we believe have Alzheimer's till they passed away and looked at their brains and confirmed that was the cause of their symptoms. And scientists have developed criteria based on that. And we just need to do the work to develop CT criteria for living people, and then we'll be able to diagnose it during life.
Okay, so this is an area of research that is really growing a lot right now. You're the co-founder of the Boston University CTE Lab. Tell me how the lab studies CTE.
Sure. The Boston University CTE Center studies CTE in multiple ways. It started as a brain bank, and so we have 834 brains of former athletes and veterans and other people exposed to repetitive brain trauma, and we're trying to understand what the disease looks like and how we can identify ways we might be able to identify it in living people and treat it. We also have a clinical research arm that is working on the largest studies in the U.S. right now in trying to study former football players, former soccer players, and others exposed to repeated brain trauma and learn how to diagnose them while in life with the goal of eventually being able to offer them effective treatments. We also have a basic sciences arm that's trying to understand the beginnings of this disease and have published multiple animal models of CTE.
So you house hundreds of brains, many of them of football players. Is this something that is becoming increasingly common for people to, I guess, donate their brains to your center, much more common than it might have been 5 or 10 years ago?
It is becoming much more common for former athletes and veterans to donate their brain to our research. To give a window into how much this has changed over time, when we started our center in 2008, we were the first research center in the world dedicated to CTE. We'd known about CTE for about 100 years, but only 45 cases had been confirmed worldwide and published in the literature. Since then, we've been getting increasing numbers of brain donations, starting from about 10 a year to last year, about 170. And interestingly, in our first 8 years, we got 10% of former NFL players that passed away during that window of time. In the last 4 years, we've gotten more than 1 in 3 brains of NFL players who've passed away. That'll give us an incredible window into that population.
Yeah. So are there particular cases or stories that came out that really kind of prompted players to take this seriously?
There's no shortage of former NFL players' stories that have caught the attention of various groups. And you probably wouldn't know an NFL player today who doesn't personally know somebody who's been diagnosed with the disease, because we've now diagnosed well over 100 cases of this. Dave Duerson in 2011 was a well-known player who caught a lot of people's attention because he was so successful after his two-time Super Bowl career in the NFL, playing for the Chicago Bears and New York Giants, in his mid-40s, was on the top of the world, Board of Trustees in Notre Dame, and then had a very steep and severe decline, both in his behavior, becoming violent with his wife and children, his business dealings, and going into bankruptcy. And he died by suicide at age 50 by shooting himself actually in the chest and leaving a note asking for his brain to be studied. And I feel like that was a moment that really got everyone's attention because he was so well-respected.
How does all of this information and the dark side of football, if you will, affect your experience of watching football?
So I played football. I was an all-Ivy defensive tackle at Harvard University. And, you know, I can still support parts of football, and especially those parts where it's adults who are informed of the consequences choosing to play the game. But it's also difficult to watch knowing how many former athletes are struggling from those thousands of hits to the head. And for me, what I get stuck on is the idea that all of us chose to play that game when we were children. Literally, everybody who plays football starts before they're 18 years old. Most people start before they're 14 years old. And we could not have understood what we were exposing ourselves to at that age. And so it's tough to watch. But then again, you know, I'm also a former WWE professional wrestler. So I'm not against adults doing a dangerous job if they want to provide for their family. But we do have to think about CTE, because this is a disease that's entirely preventable. This is a disease that if you do not get hit in the head, you are not going to suffer. This is a disease, if you get one concussion, you're not going to suffer. It's this extreme brain trauma that we're suddenly exposing ourselves to in our culture, where people are getting hit in the head thousands of times a year as a matter of course, as a matter of growing up, as a matter of contact sports. And it turns out your brain doesn't like that. And so we've got to get on top of this quickly.
Is your message getting through to parents, to people who might have kids who want to play peewee?
The message is getting out there. You know, there's no more heading in soccer before age 11. There's no more checking ice hockey till age 13. Some sports have embraced this. We're pushing hard on football because they're still recruiting your children at 5 years old to play tackle. And we don't recommend playing tackle football before high school. What's concerning about how the information is getting out there is that there's very clear evidence now that in places of high education, fewer kids are playing collision and contact sports as children. In places of lower education, that's not happening. And so the most vulnerable kids are getting exposed to more brain trauma than everybody else. And that doesn't bode well for, you know, your future ability to think and to work and to achieve.
Thanks to a Netflix series, Aaron Hernandez is back in news. Is there a demonstrated link between CTE and violence?
We haven't yet published a strong link between CTE and violence. That said, in participating in interviews with all of our families who've been diagnosed and seeing that data, a lot of families have a history of a dad or a son who was never violent and then became violent over time, and it appeared to correlate with the progression of CTE affecting parts of the brain that would affect violence. You know, you see the amygdala becomes affected, which controls fight or flight. You see the frontal lobe become damaged. And so you combine an amygdala that's damaged with a frontal lobe that's damaged, you might have paranoid, violent, impulsive behaviors that usually would have not occurred. So I believe that it's fair to say that in time, the link between CTE and violent, aggressive behavior will become stronger. We just need to do the work.
I've been speaking with Chris Nowinski, CEO and co-founder of the Concussion Legacy Foundation and co-founder of Boston University CTE Center. Thank you so much for joining us, Chris.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.